conquer his enemies who were in Jerusalem, and then David made Jerusalem the capital city. Jerusalem is also called Zion and the city of David. This is the moment when David captured Jerusalem and it became the capital city. Now, once David had Jerusalem, one of his first priorities was to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 through 19, we see that accomplished. I'll read verses 12 through 15. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. Notice the singing, the rejoicing, the worship that occurred with the entrance of the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. This act represented God being seated on his throne in Jerusalem. Now listen to this. After the Ark was in Jerusalem, David then saw all kinds of victories against the enemies surrounding. 2 Samuel chapter 8 lists many, many victories. It's sort of a summary of victories. And from those victories, David received spoil, which he offered up to God. I want to read to you a couple of sentences about the spoil from chapter 8. Quote, and Joram was the son of an enemy king, his son. And Joram brought with him articles of silver, of gold, and of bronze. These also King David dedicated to the Lord, together with the silver and gold that he dedicated from all the nations he subdued. David saw many victories. He obtained much plunder, and he dedicated all of it to the Lord God. All of that Old Testament history, beginning with the Ark being brought into Jerusalem, is connected to Psalm 68. Listen to some of the verses of the Psalm. You'll hear the connection. Verses 24 and 25 say, your procession is seen, O God, the procession of God my King into the sanctuary, the singers in front, the musicians last, between them virgins playing tambourines. Those verses depict well the Ark being brought into Jerusalem by David. There was singing, there was dancing before the Lord. Look at verses 28 and 29. Summon your power, O God, the power, O God, by which you have worked for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bear gifts to you. David saw that happen when he brought the Ark into Jerusalem. Kings brought their gifts as he subdued them. This psalm is referring to that triumphal history. It's a psalm of victory, a psalm that praises God for his mighty power and the salvation he gives to his people. In this psalm, you see God rescuing his people from slavery, bringing them through the wilderness, defeating enemies, setting his people in the promised land, and you see God being brought gifts from all the defeated nations. Now, with that in mind, I want to show you what should really excite us. I want to show you how this psalm connects to the New Testament. Psalm 68 was not written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit only for Old Testament saints. It was written by the inspiration of the Spirit for all saints of all times to encourage and spur us on today. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. This is a great passage about the church. It's one of the foundational passages behind our mission statement here at First Church. This passage refers to Jesus' ascension into heaven. After Jesus died and rose again, he ascended into heaven from where he now reigns. In Ephesians chapter 4, we are told that at his ascension, he gave gifts to his people. spiritual gifts for service. I look at verses 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Those are spiritual gifts of leadership. Today you can think of your elders, your deacons, your Sunday school teachers, your pastoral staff. You can think of missionaries sent out to various places in the world. Our ascended Lord has given these gifts of leadership. And our ascended Lord has given also all of his people spiritual gifts. All of his people have received spiritual gifts for the building up of the church. Listen to verses 15 and 16. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Notice, when each part is working properly. If you belong to Jesus, you have been given a spiritual gift. And with the gifts, we all serve together to build up the body. All the gifts have been given by Christ, our ascended, triumphal, victorious Lord. Now, you might be wondering, why am I talking about this, being connected to Psalm 68? What's the connection? Well, in his introduction to these verses about spiritual gifts and the building up of the church, the Apostle Paul quotes a verse from the Old Testament. Guess where the verse comes from? It comes from Psalm 68. In verses 7 and 8, of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul introduces that whole section I was talking about by writing this. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. That's a quote of Psalm 68, verse 18. It's always helpful when we have quotes like that in the New Testament, because those quotes are an inspired interpretation of the Old Testament. The Spirit of God Himself is telling us that when we today read Psalm 68, we should not only think of all the Old Testament connections, we should also think of Jesus' ascension. We should think of the fact that Jesus has given us gifts for the building up of the church. We should continue to realize that God's triumphal plan is still unfolding. We should realize God is still going before his people, winning battles for his glory, for the building up of his kingdom. Now, to help us fully appreciate what Paul is saying, I want to explain a little detail about Paul's quote of Psalm 68. I'm adding to the screen Psalm 68, verse 18, and ask you to compare it to Paul's quote from Ephesians 4. Do you notice a difference? I'll underline the difference for you. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, Jesus gave gifts. Psalm 68 refers to God receiving gifts. Now, that's the difference. Paul's definitely quoting Psalm 68, verse 18. But we see this difference. Paul says in Ephesians, God gave gifts to man, and the psalm we read, God received gifts. So what's the deal here? Is this a mistake? Is the Apostle Paul twisting something? What's going on? The answer is that the Apostle Paul did not make a mistake. The Apostle Paul did not twist anything. Rather, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul is revealing to us the entire meaning, the depth of meaning of Psalm 68. The full meaning is that God not only received gifts, he also gave those gifts for the building and blessing of the kingdom. Think of all that gold and silver that David received from the nations that he subdued. We read about that. All the gold and silver he received. David offered that gold, that silver to God, gave gifts to God, it was offered to God. But God doesn't need gold, does he? He doesn't need silver. So the gold ended up blessing the kingdom of Israel. It was a gift to God that was therefore a gift to all his people, to the kingdom. When Jesus ascended on high, he ascended as the victorious Lord. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples right before his ascension? I'll add his words to the screen. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we read, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Jesus did indeed receive gifts when he ascended. And Paul was telling us that from the gifts Jesus received, he has given gifts to men. Paul is commenting on the full meaning of Psalm 68 and how it connects to Jesus' ascension into us. Here's what John Calvin writes in his commentary about this, quote, "It was not himself that God enriched with the spoils of the enemy, but his people. And neither did Christ seek or need to seek his own advancement, but made his enemies tributary that he might adorn his church with the spoil. From the close union of subsisting between the head and members, to say that God manifest in the flesh received gifts from the captives is one and the same thing with saying that he distributed them to his church. Christ has received gifts. He's the victor. And Christ has given those gifts to the church. That's the point. And dear friends, through the gifts given to us, our ascended Lord is continuing to bring triumph and victory. The church continues to be built. Enemies continue to be scattered before him as his kingdom is made known, as his kingdom grows and is built. Do you remember what Jesus, the King of Kings, said to the Apostle Peter? I'll show you, quote, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The triumphant plan of God continues to unfold. And therefore, prisoners continue to be set free. Slaves continue to be rescued. The kingdom of God continues to be built. Our mighty God continues to go before his people. And just like David and the people long ago had the joy of being part of that unfolding plan and victory, so do we. A word what we are learning this way, Christ, who is the true Ark of the Covenant, has arisen. He has ascended into the true Zion, the true Jerusalem, the true Holy of Holies. And from the authority and gifts he has received, he has given gifts to the church. And through his church, the kingdom of God is being built. And therefore, people from all nations are becoming worshipers of Christ Jesus, God Almighty. Look at the last verses of Psalm 68. These are beautiful verses. This is what it all leads to. It connects to the previous psalms we've been looking at together. At the end of Psalm 68 says, quote, "O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God. Sing praises to the Lord. To him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens, behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God." This is a great ending to the psalm. God the Lord Jesus is in the true sanctuary, the ancient heavens, and he is giving power and strength to his people. Therefore, enemies are being scattered, slaves are being set free, people from all the kingdoms of the earth are singing praise to God Almighty. Psalm 68 is about the triumph that occurred in the Old Testament. It's about the triumph that occurred in Christ Jesus when he was here. It's about the triumph that is occurring today and will continue to occur until Christ comes again. Now, with all of that truth of Psalm 68 in mind, we can then see current connections. There are connections happening all over the world. For all over this world, people are being set free from bondage to Satan and to evil, and are being given life in Christ. Today, we're going to hear about and give thanks for one awesome example. The example of the work of Christ through Agape International Missions in Cambodia. This week, I went to AIM's website and learned some history. I'm going to quote some history from the website. In the 1970s, Cambodia's Khmer Rouge regime killed over 2.5 million people, starting with intellectuals and community leaders. They forced children to be soldiers, which escalated the genocide and destroyed family structures, cultural institutions, and the entire fabric of society. This left the people of Cambodia with a demoralized view of human worth, which was almost necessary for survival at that time. And after the Khmer Rouge genocide ended, children became a commodity. Satan had a grip on the people in Cambodia. He put them in bondage. And children, as is so often sadly the case, were especially mistreated. Parents started selling their children in order to survive. The village of Sve Pak, Cambodia, was the epicenter. It was once considered the child trafficking center of the whole world. The streets were lined with brothels. Back then, if you were born in that village, if you were a girl born in that village, you were going to be trafficked. That's what was going to happen to you. That's how life was there. Men traveled from around the world to Sve Pak for the brothels. But the news you're going to hear today from representatives of AIM is that the light of Christ has entered that village. Enemies have been scattered. There is life in Christ. Psalm 68 says, God shall arise. His enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. Two representatives are going to tell us about that joy in Cambodia. Matt and Mike, I welcome you to come forward. Matt Robertson works for AIM. He is the Senior Advancement Officer. And Mike Shelton has been a volunteer for AIM for numerous years and done exciting work. And we're so thankful for both of you to be here. Welcome. Blessings.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you about what God is doing in Cambodia. Your church, whether you know it or not, is part of this modern-day miracle that is happening, where children, captives, slaves are being set free. Just a little history of the organization, for those of you that aren't familiar. So what Pastor Glenn described is that families were left so destitute and so impoverished that they didn't have the choice but to sell their children. That became normal. It became a lie of the enemy, in fact, that if you had a girl, you were blessed because she was a commodity that could be sold. And so when Don and Bridget Brewster, he was the executive pastor at Adventure Christian Church in Rockland, Roseville area, he was going over to Cambodia to do pastor training in the rural areas of Cambodia and discovered what was happening and realized that God was calling them to respond. And so they went in 2005 and started a work. They thought maybe in 5 years they would take care of 25 girls that had gotten out of sex trafficking. They would provide aftercare for them. Well, in 15 years now, God continues to move. We have over 400 staff working in 4 different areas that I'll talk to you about. But Don and Bridget left everything behind to follow God's call to go to Cambodia. He left his position at Adventure. They sold everything they had. They left their older adult children behind and moved over there to start this work. And we celebrate what God is doing. You guys have been a part of that journey. It starts with the rescue. We have our own SWAT team that goes in and rescues these young girls out of brothels, unfortunately as young as 5 years old. The team goes in, kicks down the doors, rescues these girls, takes them to a safe place, and then they go into our restoration home, where the first thing that we do is we throw these girls a princess party. We want them to know that they are valued. We want them to know that they are loved. They have been so devalued. And so far to date, if we could go to the next slide, so far to date, we've rescued almost 1,298 out of sex trafficking. And in the process, we arrest the traffickers. We've arrested 300 traffickers that have been part of what's been going on. And then the next slide, through our restoration homes, we've been able to restore 891 survivors. They're no longer victims, they're survivors. They receive cutting-edge therapy, counseling, support. We talk to them about their future and what God wants to do with them. We share the gospel with them. Many of those girls end up becoming believers, and many of them want to be fighting in this fight with us. Some of them become social workers because they want to help heal and restore girls that have been just like them. And then we work with them on their future. So we train these survivors with skills, because the chances of them going back into the trade if they don't have a skill is very high. But once they receive the counseling, love, and support, and then job skills, the chances of them being trafficked virtually eliminated. In fact, we see a 97% success rate of girls that go all the way through our program. Girls can go to work in bakeries and coffee shops and can make clothing. We want to provide them with a life skill. It's important that we rescue, that we restore, and that we help reintegrate. But it's also important that we prevent this from ever happening. So we have a huge focus on continuing to build up the church, on working in local communities. We've built a school, which you guys have been a part of. We want to show you a video about that in just a minute. But we put on kids clubs in local areas. And through those kids clubs, we get to know the families and the situations where those kids may be trafficked. So a major part, actually, if we could go back one slide, a major part of our prevention programs is outreach into the communities and working with families that are in difficult, impoverished situations where if they don't have food or if they don't have a new home, they may have to make the economic decision to traffic one of their children. So part of our community outreach involves teams of American guys going over to build houses for families that need a new home. Mike has been a part of that outreach, taking teams of guys over from Creekside Church in Rockland to build houses in Cambodia. Mike, tell us about your experience doing that.
All right, it's been, is this working? Yeah. All right, it's been a blessing to be able to work with them and just to see all the differences that each year going over there and each year seeing the difference in the community. And so I've had a lot of amazing experiences going over there and seeing how God's really working. The first year we went, we built 2 homes. Each year we've gone and we've built 2 homes, tear down and rebuild. And going over there, the first year the pastor pulls us aside and they do a debriefing at the end of the trip. And he says to us, he's like, "It's been such a blessing that you guys have been here, because when we see guys like you, big, strong men, it's always for a negative reason. And now you guys are coming here, and it's for a positive reason. You're changing the way the community views you. And that's what AIM's doing there. And so the second year we go, and we're just getting off the airplane, and we're waiting for our bus, and our bus just didn't show up. And it's a pretty neat experience. You get there, and your bus isn't there. What are you going to do? So we flag down tuk-tuks, which are just a little motorcycle with a cart behind it. And the tuk-tuk driver goes, "Where are you guys going?" And we say, "We need to go to Swaipak." And the tuk-tuk driver goes, "No, Swaipak is closed." And what that means, Swaipak, the epicenter, like he was saying, no longer takes guys like us there, right? Guys like us who go there to do harm. Known to Phnom Penh is like, Swaipak to Phnom Penh is like Daly City to San Francisco. So it's a suburb. So now San Francisco knows not to take anybody to Daly City. And that just shows you what they're doing there, and it matters and it's changing. And each year we go there, we go back to the homes of the families that were changing their lives. And it's a small thing. And the first year I went, I'm like, well, we're just building. Like, what's that really doing? But it's preventing this from ever happening to these girls, these kids. And it's changing a family's life. And we go back and we get to see the neighborhoods that we built these homes. And it is amazing, the transformation. You see gardens and people are happy. And there's no trash on the ground. Trash is everywhere, by the way. And even 2 years ago, we did a house in two homes, and now they're started a recycling business. And it's just the whole neighborhood. There's like 10 families, and they're all come together. They all greet us, and they're crying and want to take pictures with us. And it's just something we do that's a practical. There's so many aspects you can add to helping out with AIM. You know, there's a coffee shop in Sacramento that now is teaching people how to brew coffee. You know, we go and build homes. I'm not good at VBSs, but I can build stuff. And, you know, and it doesn't just take a builder to go over there and build stuff. We've had dentists and lawyers and, you know, all these people that go and help. God calls us to get up and move and do something. And you know what? That song, "Fear, He is a Liar," and it's true. Mm-hmm. Fear stops us from doing what God calls us to do. So, I don't know, did I miss anything?
No, that's awesome. Thank you. Well, and just as Pastor shared, his enemies are being scattered. So as we've been able to go in and close down the brothels in Phnom Penh, the traffickers are scattering out to the countryside. And the government has asked us to help chase them out into the countryside. And so now our SWAT team continues to evolve. We need police officers to go over and train our SWAT team. We need teams to come over and help us put on vacation Bible schools. So as Mike said, there's an opportunity for you guys to get even more involved. Your church has been very involved in helping us build the new school in Swaipak. Swaipak, which was once the epicenter for child sex trafficking, where there once were brothels and massage parlors and karaoke lounges, there's now a church that is the center of that community. There's employment centers where the girls work to make clothing. There's a community outreach center, and there's a brand new school, which we currently have 500 kids in that school with capacity for 1,200. And the important thing about the school is that when children are in school, their parents see them as having value. And that we know of, no kids in our school have been trafficked. And this is in the community of Swaipak that was once the epicenter. So by supporting AIM and by supporting the school, you guys are part of a modern day miracle, not only rescuing, restoring, and helping to reintegrate, but also preventing this from ever happening. So thank you.
Thank you guys for coming.